This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are in a series entitled Having the Will to Win. Having the Will to Win. And today, I want to talk to you strictly. Let me give you a little backdrop. This we have been using 2 Corinthians 2 and 14 says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. And we said to the degree that we do it God's way, what's going to happen? We're going to get God's results, right? And so we have to do it God's way. This series is about having a confidence, having a conviction, having a faith that no matter what comes, or no matter what goes, that I am in it to win it, that the fight is not over until I win, that if I keep swinging, I am going to hit something, regardless of situations, regardless of tough times, regardless of challenges in my life, that I am in it to win it, and I have the will to win. You got it? And so I want to talk to you today from the subject of really learning how to hear from God and obey his voice, because if I'm, you know, in a tough time, if I'm in a season, or if I'm in a good season and things are going my way, no matter what, I have to learn how to hear from God. Isn't that right? And it's important, it's vitally important to learn how to hear from God, so that way you quiet all the other voices and you make his the loudest voice in your life. And so I want to share some things with you that I believe will really, really be a blessing to you today. So let's go to Luke, the 5th chapter, and I really want to take my time and teach this. Y'all know I'm a teacher anyways, and I really like to break stuff down, because by the time you walk out of here today, I want you to have even a better understanding of the importance of hearing from God, but not the just the importance of hearing from God, but how to hear from God. And so Luke, the 5th chapter and the 2nd verse, it says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. So they were done, all right? And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. So this is Peter's boat. And he sat down, and he did what, class? Taught the people out of the ship, all right? Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. So he's over, he's done. Jesus is about to get off the ship. He's borrowed the ship. He's appreciative for what they've done. And watch what Jesus says, because there's never anything that you'll do for God that he won't do greater for you. All right? And so Jesus says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Watch this, verse 5. And Simon, this is Peter, answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. You got it? Like my sanctified imagination, you know that, like, I put myself in the stories. You got it? And so in this particular story, I actually wasn't on the ship. I was still off the ship, and I was washing nets, but I was looking over at Jesus and Peter's conversation, right? And so Peter was trying to explain to Jesus, you know, like, my granddaddy is a fisherman. Like Jesus, it's daytime. We go fishing at night because the fish come to the top of the water. You got it? It's cooler. When it's hot, the fish go down deep. You know, Jesus, my granddaddy is a fisherman. My daddy is a fisherman. All my cousins are fishermen. Sometimes we know too much. But thank God he had enough wisdom that he knew who Jesus was. And he says, but nevertheless, what are those next three words? At thy word. And see, it has to stop in your life right there. I'm going through this, but God, at your word. This doesn't look good, but God, at your word. Them folks are lying on me, but God, at your word. And you have to make sure that his word is the highest in your life. He says, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. Only KJV says fishes, praise the Lord. And their net broke. And so I have to understand that it happened because it was at the word of Jesus that Peter obeyed that caused the miracle to happen. I submit to you that at the word of Jesus, if we obey it, miracles will happen in our lives. Does that make sense? So I know how to hear from God, and it's important that you have a pastor who knows how to hear from God. I authentically know how to hear from God. I don't know. I think it's funny when people always go back and forth that God said this, and then God changed his mind, you know, and those kind of things. And so God is not schizophrenic, all right? People say God said one thing, and then when things get tough or it doesn't go the way they want, they fabricate new instructions from the Lord, like God all of a sudden changed his mind. Like God doesn't change his mind. He says, I am the Lord, and I change not. So either one or two things happen. You lied in the beginning, or God didn't change his mind. Come on, somebody. Yeah, it's tight, but it's right. Go ahead and give the Lord a hand praise in advance, because it's going to be a good lesson. Praise the Lord. No, I'm just saying, am I right about it? Because God doesn't change his mind. So if somebody says, God said this, and you came back and you changed your mind, it was never on God. So one or two things, either you lied in the beginning, you got it, or you walked away from God's word, one of the two. You know, and that is why, the church you go to and the word you hear makes a difference. That's why your circle matters. That's why you have to be around people of like precious faith. You know, if you walk with the wise, you will increase in wisdom. The Bible teaches us in Proverbs 13 and 20, he that walketh with the wise men shall be what? Wise. Watch this. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. All right. Proverbs 20 and 5 says, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water. I love this next part. But a man of understanding will draw it out. All right. And so my assignment is to help you authentically learn how to hear from God in a simplistic manner where you can hear from God, not some of the time, but all of the time in any situation in your life. All right? Because when I hear from God, I have peace, and peace is always my green light. Right? Anytime I make a decision to move on something, whether it's family, whether it's business, whether it's ministry, no matter what it is, I have to have heard from God and have a peace about it, and peace should be your green light. If you don't have peace, then you don't move on something. All right? So it is critical to learn to hear and obey God's voice. John, the 10th chapter and the 4th verse says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep do what? Follow him. Makes sense, right? For they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. So my confession has always been, I hear the voice of God, and the voice of a stranger I will not follow. All right? Because there's a lot of voices out there. All right? So we must learn to recognize the voice of the Father over the other voices that try to speak in our life. Now, there are some good voices that will speak in our lives. You got it. And we're going to talk about that in a little while. But at the end of the day, the voice of the Father has to be the first and the loudest voice in your life. Does that make sense? Yeah. The voice of the Father is often intrusive. What do you mean by that? It rushes into my thinking. Let's kind of go down this route and see if I can't help you understand this. So it comes through my recreated human spirit. Ephesians 2 and 10, I read that to you a few weeks ago. We are God's own handiwork, his workmanship recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew. So watch this. So when I get saved, my spirit man is what becomes alive to God. My soulish man, you know, I gotta work on that. You got it? Because if I'm stingy, coming to a church and get saved, you got it? If I don't work on the soulish part, guess what I'm gonna be? A stingy Christian. If I'm mean and walk into a church and get saved and I don't renew my mind, change my way of thinking, that's all has to do with my soulish, then guess what I'm gonna be? A mean Christian. Does that make sense? But my spirit man is what automatically becomes alive to God and is able to hear from God. We are tripart beings, spirit, soul, and body. You are a spirit, you possess a soul, you live on the inside of a physical body, but your spirit is who you are. You got it? Your spirit is what's gonna go back to heaven. You got it? And Galatians 4 and 6, just to push this a little bit further, I have a lot of proof text today, says, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into where? Your hearts, all right? Crying, Abba, Father. So the way God communicates with me is through my spirit, all right? I'm going to take my time because I want everybody to get there. Don't you want everybody to get there? Yeah. So metaphorically speaking, when the Bible uses the words like candle, it uses the words like earth, when it uses the word like heart, talks about the heart of man, it's really talking about the spirit of man, all right? We are to function out of our hearts and not out of our heads. I've taught you that before, that God never designed us to function out of our heads. He designed us to function out of our hearts. There can be a little bit of doubt in your head, but as long as you have faith in your heart, it'll work in your life. You got it? So as a person of faith, you must value who you are as a spirit being. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, watch this, so my heart or my spirit can think. It says that the earth bringeth forth fruit, so my heart or my spirit is a production center. It says, out of my heart flows the issues of life, so I have to guard what goes in. How many know you got to guard what goes in your heart? Like in every area of your life. You got it? We went to Lady LaConte, Sister Velvet. It was her birthday. And we went and she rented a movie theater. And we watched this crazy movie. You got it? And so I don't remember the name of the movie. But Hannah told me that it's considered a thriller. I don't even hardly go to the movies. I have no problem with the movies. You ain't going to hell if you watch the movies. Okay? I just really don't do movies a lot. Okay? So sometimes you say that and people think, oh, Pastor thinks something wrong. I don't think nothing's wrong. But now I personally not going to see certain movies that have a whole lot of cussing and sex and, you know, that kind of thing. You know, that's me. Praise the Lord. You know, that, but if I go to a movie, I normally like to watch a funny movie or a nice movie. So we watch this movie. And Hannah's trying to tell me before we go, it's a thriller, and she's trying to explain it's not horror. You know, a thriller's underneath horror, and you know, it's, and I'm like, okay. And so we go and watch it. You know, and it's like the things are happening that would not happen in real life. Like if there is a lion that is running to you, and you run into a building, you close the doors behind you, or if not, the lion's gonna run right in, right? When you are safe, you got it, you don't walk outside to see what's going on because the lion is still out there, right? Like, there's just things that you just don't do. And then all of a sudden, it gets real quiet, and they're standing, and all of a sudden, here comes the lion, but it's not the lion. It's all the effects that go, whoo, and then lady's jumping out of her seat. You got it? And it's scaring me. I'm like, babe, brace yourself, you know? It's a lot going on. So I'm waking up in the middle of the night thinking about the lion. So you got, moral of the story, you got to watch what goes in your heart. Praise Jesus. I told lady, I said, babe, why couldn't Velvet just had a nice family movie? Praise the Lord. So I have to guard what go, even though there was nothing wrong with that, you got it. Watch this, watch how I still play with my heart. But that wasn't anything that was wrong. Imagine when you allow the wrong things into your heart. Does that make sense? And that's what you have to understand. That was something that wasn't even no big deal, but imagine when you allow the wrong things into your heart, all right? The creative ideas that God has given me throughout the years for this ministry or for my family or for my business, they don't come from my head, but they come from my heart, which has been in fellowship with God. And that is the key for your life, to be in fellowship with God. You got it? 1 Corinthians 2:9, a very familiar passage of scripture, it says, but as it is written, that eyes have not seen nor ears heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. How many love him? Everybody in the room and everybody online, right? Watch this. But God hath revealed them unto us by his spirit. All right? I don't know why the translator put a colon here. Theologians go back and forth on this, and more theologians agree that when it says by his spirit, it's talking about, of course, the spirit of God. But when it says for the spirit, he's talking about my recreated spirit, even though there's a capital S. It says, this is my spirit, searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. All right? See, the punctuations were added by the translator. Because so there's some theologians say, no, it's still talking about, you know, God's spirit searching all things, yea, the deep things of God. That doesn't make any sense. Why would the Holy Spirit search for something he already knows? He's omniscient. You got it? He's omnipresent. You got it? He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. All right? So because if you're not careful, you say, Pastor's changing the Bible. No, he's rightly dividing it. You got it? So my human spirit, I'm gonna push this a little further. My human spirit does not sleep. That's why sometimes we have told members in the past that have had faith fights, you know, in the area of challenges in their body, play the word at night. You got to play worship songs at night. Why? Even though your body is sleeping, your spirit man who's alive does not sleep. You got it? And it can feed off of that, and your spirit can grow. You got it? So my human spirit does not sleep. It searches the kingdom of God or the ways of God to find out the things that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. And once the Holy Spirit reveals it to my spirit, I just get this thought and boom, it rushes into my thinking. And so that's why we say it's intrusive. Have you ever been believing for something or trying to figure out how to do it? You know, you've been asking God about it, and maybe at that moment he didn't give it to you. You could be somewhere doing something different, have nothing to do with what you had asked God for, and all of a sudden, it just intrusively, you boom, you get the answer. You're like, oh, man, thank you, Jesus. It had nothing to do with whatever you were doing because your spirit, watch this, searches. You got it? And God's spirit communicates with our spirit, and as soon as I get the answer, boom, it rushes to my thinking. Is that making any sense? Is that too deep? All right, give the Lord a big hand praise then. And the reason I really need to push this, you got it, is because I need you to understand that you can't worry about what's going on in your head. It's all about what's going on in your heart, okay? Your mind is the arena of faith. It is the battleground, as the case may be. And yes, I need to renew my mind, and I need to change my way of thinking, and I do that with information and saturation. Information is the word of God. Saturation is to hear it over and over and over and over. So I need to do that, you got it? But watch this. But when thoughts, negative thoughts from the enemy come, they never go to my heart, they just go to my head. That's why the writer says, take no thought by saying. So even though a negative thought might come to my head, I can't let it go out of my mouth. You got it? Because if I'm letting it go out of my mouth, that means it's done went from my head. I've been pondering on that thing. It's got down to my heart, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That young man is teaching y'all something in here this morning, all right? All right? So we must recognize his voice. Everybody say recognize. And then we must respect his voice. Everybody say respect. And then we must rely on his voice. Everybody say rely. And then we must respond with obedience, okay? So we've got to recognize it. We've got to know it's God's voice. And then once we know it's God's voice, automatically we're going to respect his voice. We're going to rely on his voice, and we're going to respond to his voice. So this voice is internal. It is intimate. It's still and small. It is instructional. It is invitational. And we're going to talk about these things. We may not all hear the exact same way from God. You got it? I might tell you how I hear from God. You might tell me how you hear from God. And there might be some differences, but there are definitely some similarities that we all can say amen to. All right? So, point number one, that was all introduction. How do I know it's his voice? How do I know it's his voice? All right, here we go. Number one, it will be refreshing. It will be refreshing. What do you mean by that? Anytime God speaks to me, it's going to be inspiring and it's going to bring peace. All right? Because when God, watch this, when the creator of the universe speaks to me, you got it? You know, when Jehovah Gamola, the God of recompense, you got it? When Jehovah Jireh, the God who, when he speaks to me, you got it? His word is quick and it's sharp and it's powerful and it's going to inspire me. It's going to bring me peace. When I'm believing to do something, watch this now. Whether God tells me yes, or whether God tells me no, it's still going to bring me peace. Does that make sense? So let's say I'm believing to start this business, and God gives me a yes. He says, hey, son, you can do this, and you need to do this, this, and that. Watch this. That'll inspire me, and that'll give me peace. Let's say God tells me no. Well, God's like, are you kidding me? Quit fooling yourself. You know you can't do that. No, God don't speak like that. So the Lord would tell me, hey, son, no. Don't do this, or either now's not the time to do this, or son, I have something much greater for you to do, and if you do that, that's going to be a distraction. So that still is inspiring, and it brings me peace. Does that make sense? All right, so number one, it'll be refreshing. Number two, it will be revelatory. What do you mean by that? It'll be relevant, and it'll be revelational, all right? When I hear his voice, I can always refer back to scripture to validate it, all right? Because God is not going to tell me something crazy that is outside the scope of his word. You got it. Yeah, you know, if you're single, you know, you ain't going to look at somebody else who's married and, well, God told me that was my mate. No, you lied. That was the devil. That was all the devil. All the devil. And your flesh. You got it. All right. Let me say that. Number three. Everybody say number three. Number three, it will be rhema. It will be rhema. It will be full of power. You got it. when we begin to understand the word of God, and when we understand rhema words, and you know, some people call them right now words, or refreshing words, or words of power, or words that give you confidence or give you excitement in the moment. The Bible teaches us Luke 1:37 that when God gives us His word, not only gives us His word, but He backs it up with His power to perform it. And so anytime I get a refreshing rhema right now word, it will excite me. You got it? Because now I got what I need to move ahead in the days ahead, all right? So we said it will be refreshing, it will be revelatory, it will be rhema, and then number four, it will be radical. Sometimes, not all the time, when God speaks, it stretches you. You got it? Sometimes when God speaks, it will stretch you. I remember, I'll give you my own testimony. Matter of fact, let me just ask you, God ever told you to do something that stretched you? Maybe to sow a seed. You got it? You know, how many know you don't need to wait? We have a big giving day one time a year. You got it? How many know you don't need to wait for a big giving day for God to tell you if you're working on something, hey, you need to sow a sacrificial seed that's over and above for the thing that you're building? You don't need pastor to get up here every week and talk about giving. You have to know how to hear from God for yourself. Isn't that right? And you know, if you're believing for something, there's things that we do. You got it? You know, we get in faith for it. We get a confession, or we confess the word over it. We sow a seed on, you know, those things like that. And so the Holy Spirit might tell you, sow a seed. And you'll be in agreement. And then they'll tell you how much it's. Hold on now, Jesus. Well, that was God. Because sure enough, the devil ain't going to tell you to do it. All right, come on, somebody. Yeah, I remember when we first started the ministry, Lady LaConte and I, we paid all the bills of the ministry when we first started the ministry. I can't even remember anymore because it's been 15 years now, but I think it was like $30,000 we had given to the ministry. And then even after that, we were paying, you know, the bills of the ministry. When we hired our first few staff members, they were on James and LaConte McIver's payroll. You got it? You know, like that's just what we did. And then as we went to the next building, Noose Boulevard, it started growing. More of y'all started coming. I started teaching on giving. You got it? Faith was released. You know, you started giving. And now we're starting to get to the point where, you know, pastor and lady don't have to carry the weight of the ministry. You got it? And as soon as it seemed like that happened, God said, okay, now it's time to build. I'm like, hold on, Lord. Like, I was looking for a break. You understand what I'm saying? You know, but God will always stretch you. You got it. I remember we built this building, and you all will never know what it took to build this building, because every Sunday I didn't get up with a sad face. Every Sunday I didn't say, y'all, we need an extra $30,000 for dirt, and we did. But I never told y'all. You got it. No, what did I do? I got up, and I did the same thing that I always did. We got up, we worshiped God. You got it. We received our offering. You got it. I taught the word, and we believed God for increase. Does that make sense? We do that all the time. All the time. Truth be told, you got it. A lot of people went on vacation for this summer. Some of them, their tithes was on vacation. We saw it this summer. Yes, we did. And like we have not seen it in some summers past. You got it? Now, everything's okay. We're fine. You know, and those kind of things. But has pastor got up and got on anybody? Or did, no, pastor got up. We worship God. Hello, somebody. I'm going to teach the word. We're going to receive the offer, and we're going to believe for increase. We're always there. Why? Because we live by faith. Does that make sense? And you got to make up in your mind. Either you're going to live by faith or you're not going to live by faith. Either God's word is true or it's not going to be true. Like either you're going to have to make it up. At some point in your life, the rubber is going to meet the road and the Holy Spirit is going to talk to you. He's going to be inspiring. He's going to bring you peace. But he's also going to tell you, okay, you're going to get yourself together or you're not going to get yourself together. Because the only way you're going to get to the other side is if you get yourself together. Take your emotions, put them in your back pocket, and start walking by faith. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so you know, because if people aren't careful, you know, they'll be, oh, you don't understand. You don't know the life I lived. You don't know what I did to get to where I am. Come on, somebody. You got it? And so the only reason I am where I am, watch this, is because I took some principles in the word that I found that if I would live right, because he that have clean hands and a pure heart, you got it? That if I would give right, he'd open up the windows of heaven. If I would treat people right, does that make sense? If I do those things, I would live an amazing life. And Lady LaConte and I have a conviction of that. We always going to treat everybody right. You could cuss me out and I'm still going to love you. You got it? Yeah, you know why? Because doesn't mean I'm going to like it. Yeah, I might not like that you cuss me out, but I'm not going to cuss you out back. First of all, I don't know how to cuss. You got it. You know, some of y'all could probably help me figure out how to do it, but I mean, I all right, okay, I can tell we ain't gonna get, some of y'all are like, that's right, Pat, come on, Pastor, come on, I got you. No, the writer said we have moved on from the old man, and now we are in the new man. You got it? You know, but truth be told, some of y'all ain't forgot how to do some of that stuff y'all used to do long time ago. You understand? You guys, you still know how that Hennessy tastes and smell. Right. All right. What'd you say? What'd she say, Hannah? What'd your mama say? Tell on her. Huh? Not Hennessy? Not Hennessy? Oh, I shouldn't have called out Hennessy. Should I call out something different? What would you, if you was teaching with your crazy self, what would you have called out? Mad Dog 2020? How you know about that? Because my dad's a bishop, and he tells him when he was in the world, he said, boy, Mad Dog 2020 was my friend, my best friend. I don't know what a mad dog is, praise the Lord. I don't know. But it's amazing, though. Oh, man, watch this. But isn't it amazing how you can go back just like that? Come on, somebody. You know, it's amazing. Now, thank God, watch this. And this is why you have to continually renew your mind and change your way of thinking and stay in the way of God. Because let's just be very, very honest, especially for some of us, you got it. You know, if something devastating happened and you wanted to push God away, it's like you could almost walk right back to that old way. But that's why the writer says that we have put off the old man. You just notice it didn't say that God did it. We made a calculated decision that the things I used to do, I ain't gonna do no more. Does that make sense? And so you have to do that. Even when you get mad, even when something doesn't go right. Come on, somebody. I think this is a good place to go home. I got a whole lot more lesson. We're going to pick it up next week. Is that all right? We're going to stay right here because I don't know about you, but I want to make sure I know how to hear from God. But think about it, man. The Holy Spirit just showed me that I have to put off the old man. And in certain instances, I got to keep putting off the old man. Because a lot of times everything's cool as long as everything's going my way. But what happens when the rubber hits the road and you know, somebody changes their mind or somebody lies on you or somebody treats you really bad or somebody does you wrong. If you're not careful, you want to put back on the old man for a little while, then tell me I'm going to put it off and ask God to forgive me. But true maturity. Got it. And I'm not knocking you. If you've done it, you know, just admit it and quit it. But true maturity is no matter what comes or no matter what goes, I'm going to do it God's way. And doing it God's way sometimes don't always feel the best, especially when it comes to forgiveness. You know, let's just be honest. Most of us in the room at some point in our lives, I'm not saying you're struggling with it now, but at some point in our lives had to struggle with forgiving somebody who did us wrong. Isn't that right? Yeah. And that's hard because you think you forgave them. Then you see him and you realize, okay, either I didn't forgive him or I'm still struggling with that situation. But I want you to know that God will help you. And so he's not saying for you to forgive them just so they can get off, so you can seem like you were the one that got done wrong. But he's saying forgive them because it's not about just releasing them, but it's releasing everything in your heart, anything to envy, unforgiveness, bitterness that can stop you from living the blessed life that Jesus wants you to live. And I've made up in my mind that I'm not going to let anybody stop me from living an amazing life. So if I got to forgive you and then realize 6 months later after I hadn't thought about you that I'm still a little angry, then I'm going to say, well, Lord, forgive me. And if I haven't forgiven them, I forgive them again in Jesus' name. And if I got to do that for 6 months and then another 3 months goes by and I realize, okay, I'm a little better, but I am not as good as I thought, well, Lord, forgive me. And if I haven't totally forgiven them, I forgive them again. You got it? Sometimes it's a process. But the key is having your heart right. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, we thank you for your word. And it's not void of power. And Father, I thank you that we hear your voice and the voice of a stranger we will not follow. So when you speak to us and tell us to forgive, we're going to hear your voice. When you speak to us and you tell us to love in spite of, we're going to hear your voice. When you speak to us and tell us to give or to give extravagantly, we're going to hear your voice. And the voice of a stranger we will not follow. We'll accept correction from you. Because we know that you want the best for our lives. And so, Father, as we move into this brand new week where you've given us brand new mercies, I thank you, Father, that you will speak to us clearly. I thank you, Father, that in the name of Jesus, that as you speak to us, that it'll be a way that we can hear and understand. That when you speak to us, Father, it will be refreshing, it will be revelatory, it will be rhema, and it will be radical. I thank you that our confession is that we hear clearer than we've ever heard from you before. We thank you for it, and we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand praise all over the building?